Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
The Quilt of Bananas program plays every Sunday, 10 to 11am, with news, views and music.
A collective of presenters, advertisers, community events and discusses news of interest to lesbians, queer women and non-binary folk.
We have interviews about past and future sports and cultural events, politics, films, art shows.
The program is sponsored through the generosity of the Rural Foundation.
And it plays every Sunday from 10 to 11am on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
Good morning. I'm just fiddling with the desk and getting everything going. This morning I very cleverly printed off my schedule of what I was going to talk about and left it on the printer, as I always do. This is the Quilt with Bananas program. I'm Sue, and I'm on my own today. We've sort of just had a bit of a chuckle of who's doing what when. And I've got a little bit of stuff, a little bit of news, a little bit of a rant. That's the news, caused by the news. A little bit about some television that I've been watching, and a little bit about, which was kind of some fun, finding tropes. Those of course, link up to your television. I've got some nice music. Nice, that's a terrible word, isn't it? And my first song that I'm going to play is, actually, I might play Pink Pony Club first.
I know you wanted me to stay, but I can't ignore the crazy visions of me in LA. I heard that there's a special place where boys and girls can all be queens every single day. I'm having wicked dreams of leaving Tennessee. If Santa Monica, I swear it's calling me. Won't make my mama proud, it's gonna cause a scene. She sees her baby girl, I know she's gonna scream.
I'm gonna keep on dancing down in West Hollywood. I'm gonna keep
see are always on my mind. And Mama, every Saturday I can hear your southern draw a thousand miles away saying, God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl and you dance at the club. Oh, Mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels to where I belong down at the pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink pony club. I'm gonna keep on dancing down in West Hollywood. I'm gonna keep on dancing at the pink pony club. Pink pony club.
Apple Rowan and Pink Pony Club. Stop that. This is Quilted Bananas, as we've said. That's queer, intersex, lesbian, trans, takatāpui, NB. I can't remember what D was. Did we have a D? Diverse. Bisexual, asexual, aro, and nanas, some of us are nanas, that would be me. I'm not too sure if any of the rest are nanas. And we broadcast at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, which is what you're listening to, on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. and we podcast the show, and it is on pretty much all the podcasting app sites that I've looked at, and one trick was though that it seemed to have sort of come under one, that there seemed to be two different it's sort of sitting under two different identities on Apple, possibly on Pocket Cast switches with the one I use, and it seems like it sort of went onto one until a while ago, and then it's come onto a second one. So if you can't find it, maybe have a look and see if there's two different versions of Quilted Bananas on the podcasting. I quite like listening to them on podcast myself because, you know, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, I'm either here or in a shambolic mess somewhere. We're supported by the Peter Rule Foundation, and we're very thankful to the Peter Rule Foundation for bringing us the program. They pretty much pay our on-air fees. We have a few other kind of regular donors, and every now and then we run an event, which we haven't done for a while. And we cover a much more broad range of community than we used to. So we're, as you might guess from the name, about those, you know, the broader community is our community. Today is at 10 o'clock, I think, is the regular church service at St Andrews, and they will be holding a service that's particularly a service in related to the Trans Day of Remembrance. They're calling it Transgender Memorial. The Transgender Day of Remembrance was on the 20th, and it recognises members of our broader community who have died either through violence or just through the the effects are the stresses that particularly affect that community. There's a few sites that gather and identify the people who've been affected by that or who've died. And I think it's one of those things that you don't necessarily appreciate is just being seen. So just being someone that's worth remembering, which I think that was an issue for lesbians many moons ago, and that those visibility of a community and visibility in ways that are not just about judging and attacking. So it was quite noticeable on the maps of the people that had been lost over the last year that I think my wild guess would have been that younger people would be, but it's actually people are sitting across a whole range of ages, from teens to kind of late middle age. And what is quite noticeable, though, is that the map has areas that have substantial coverage in areas that have no coverage or that don't seem to have any people who've died. I think that's a matter of reporting, though. So there were very few for Africa, notably hostile place for most African countries are notably hostile to queers generally and to trans people, none for sort of Central Asia, Russia, and substantial coverage in other areas. I don't think there were any marked down for New Zealand this year, but I'm not too sure that whether we count people who've died of kidney failure, because that's quite a common way for trans people's for the realities of their lives to cost, because you can't just go to the loo, or you know, the ability to do so is variable. That sort of stopping and having a think about the harms that are done to trans people in various names. I might start with the songs that I was actually going to do today. So let's throw on Alex the Astronaut for some road rage. If I can push a button.
This four-wheel drive cut me off. I hit my horn loud and long and swore at him with everything I'm not. Pedestrian saw me in the rear vision mirror. I saw what she saw. Bright red. I saw what she saw. Spent all day racing out of my way, cutting corners, frown lines, digging into my face. Can I be right and you be wrong? I am spinning on. I had a dream that I fell off. I don't know when I'm gonna stop till all the lights fall off. What is going on? I think I'll tell them it is all their fault.
expectations I can't reach. Sore feet, so I'll be Robin Hood of the concrete. Shiny colored curtains won't let you in. And someone gave me the finger I've got hold. Waiting, thinking of the right thing to say.
So that was Alex the Astronaut. I've very cleverly lost where I'm up to. And she is Australian. Is she the she? I don't know. It says her in Wikipedia. Wikipedia knows everything, doesn't it? Australian singer, born when I think was kind of like yesterday in 1995. It's become quite a long time ago now, 1995, I have to say. Today down at Te Aro Park, I'll sort of kind of think Pigeon Park, Te Aro Park, QED is inviting people to rally in a snap action at 2 o'clock, Te Aro Park, to stand up for trans kids. QED utterly, this is reading their blurb, QED utterly condemns the government's ban on puberty blockers. That ban, of course, is only for trans kids, for trans youth. Puberty blockers are life-saving medicine that's supported by medical experts. That the government is banning this medication only for trans youth and not for us other cisgender populations who use it is a show of bigotry. I don't disagree with that at all. These medications have been around for a long time. That ban was announced by New Zealand first. Through their emails that they send people, New Zealand First are a bit demented and think that I'm one of their fans. So that landed in my email box. I think it was dated 19th, some days before the or some time before the announcement by Simeon Brown. And you would have to say that it was almost like. It was celebratory, and came from Casey Costello, who, as Associate Minister of Health, seems to have done nothing but harm health. We've gone spectacularly down the rankings in tobacco, in managing tobacco usage. The rates of smoking. Probably within margin of error, but seem to have gone up when we're told that tobacco use isn't a problem, which of course for anyone either paying for it or suffering from it, it is. So the rationale on the email from New Zealand First opened with it being a war on woke. This is part of their war on woke. I've been getting these delightful war on woke emails from Casey Costello for some time now. We've had ones on. I don't think she sent one out on the sports ban, but that was announced during the Cannes conference. As we had one of the CEs telling us that ministers didn't actually hate trans people. We shouldn't read everything we read in the news. I don't read it in the news. I read it through the emails coming from the minister. So that sports ban is now being appealed by Pride Auckland. So these things that should be our celebrations are taking the front lines on these legal actions at the moment. Whether that will, whether they can continue to be on the front lines and that against well-resourced attacks. So the Wellington Pride one, they're up against Free Speech Union and the Stephen Franks law firm, and so the resources that are going in from really sort of quite right-wing groups. And for Lava, you can't have this both ways. You're either beholden to right-wing groups and doing those pretty classic, isolate a population and tear them down and side with, anti-feminist activity while you're doing that. This is rant all over the place, isn't it? So it started off with this being, anti-woke, which just means anti being a decent person, and extended into, it's about safety. And Winston Peters said, he used those kind of trigger words for the sort of cooker end of their community or of their electoral capture area, he went after and I suspect got a lot of those anti-vaxxers or the COVID anti-vaxxers, and then they've sort of just using the same terminologies again, that this is untested and unproven, and for a medication that's been used, medications that have been used for 40 years at least, that are used across a number of different areas, including precocious puberty, and it's likely that a significant number of the people on those medications are precocious puberty rather than trans kids, because it may be that the barriers to that are lower. They're not handed out like lollies. People go through a whole... There are specialist groups who deal with people and young people who have those needs, and taking decisions that are really medical decisions and medical decisions for individual people, and making them a policy decision that's been made by politicians rather than by medical people, and that's drawn on some really shonky CAS report rather than on medical research, of which there's a substantial body. They are saying that they're going to wait until the results of the Pathways study in the UK come in. That I wouldn't hold my breath for that, both because obviously it's going to be a long time before that research will come into play, but also because the design of the study is beyond demanding for the people for the participants. I can't think I've seen a medical study that, especially a medical study for something that's been well researched over a 40-year period, I can't say I've seen anything that is as brutal a regime for the participants. There's, I think, it says 50 plus assessments. When I sat down and went through the individual tests, there's of the order of 90, 100 plus tests over a 2 year period. And they are, you know, kind of across the board tests. So they've got ADHD in there. They've got tests where they're looking at who people are attracted to sexually. None of which are needed for this. I think, you know, I mean, I'm sure lots of people with ADHD who are queer would be interested in a result that says, you know, do trans kids have ADHD is at a higher rate as has been found with autism generally. I think even the repeated application of the cognitive tests is, you know, in terms of test practice and the use of those tests is all by itself, even before the rest of the brutality of the test regime is... Just unethical. I cannot see how this test is, how this study has passed any ethical test. Won't be finished till 2031. So, you know, there's this test program supposed to cover 2 years. Not going to be done until 31. Won't be published till well after that. So the number of people really being harmed either by being in it or by losing out, you know, not having access to treatment, will be huge. I kind of hope that New Zealand's had that recent experience of following evidence-based policy. I would hope that at some point we go back to having evidence-based policy. I'd love to see what the advice from the ministry actually said and what the RIS said, a regulatory impact statement, because this will harm people. So, yep, if you're fired up by a piece of political decision making about medical treatment that affects only, you know, the decision affects only trans kids, they're leaving the stuff that they're claiming is unsafe being used by younger children to slow down premature, so it's used for premature puberty in younger children. So if it's not safe for them, is it safe for trans teens over a short period, is it suddenly magically safe for non-trans kids younger over a longer period? That's kind of, you know, what kind of rationale is that? Oh, look, it's playing its way through my schedule of songs. Anyway, that has been broadly, there's been a lot of response to that from medical specialists, from the people who specialise in treating trans kids, from endocrinologists, from the Human Rights Commission, and I would expect considerable action to fire up over this. The last thing you want is that there's treatments that are not made available to queer people generally, and this is really kind of the way that's heading. I'm going to play another song now. I'm going to play Amber Liu, who is I think she's Taiwanese, and quite in the K-pop world, and the song is ILY. Mm-hmm.
about your baby, cause I want it so bad that I'm so off track. And just like that, throw the letters right back. I don't need all the feelings, but I can't stop the feeling. I want it so bad that I'm so off track. And just like that, throw the letters right back. Get you out my head. Gotta get you. Touching on me, folding like origami. Ooh, gotta put this thing to bed. You said you could do better.
Ily, and stop that. And so on a more positive note, because sorry about that rant, I just like it's the first time I've actually sat down and said it out loud, and it's just so on a positive note. Apple TV's got the documentary Come See Me in the Good Light. I think it's probably gone up over the last week or so. It's a film-length, I think, documentary of the life of Andrea Gibson and her wife, I think. And their wife, Megan Fowley, documenting their relationship, living with, dying with ovarian cancer. Rotten Tomatoes has it 100%, and it's an easy 100% there. I think it's a stunning documentary, beautifully made, but made particularly by the people in it, and allowing that kind of capture of of moments of joy and happiness, and moments of just devastation and distress and pain, which I think if anyone's going to capture that and bring it so clearly, was Andrea Gibson. It's got some recording or some video of their performances, and their sort of touring with their performance. Absolutely stunning. I really recommend it. It was produced by Tig Notaro, who, of course, had her own run with breast cancer. Coincidentally, to today's earlier item, is currently treating that with hormone blocking. It's obviously had a double mastectomy, It's really been fun seeing so many people like Tig Notaro in recent TV programs too. So absolutely stunning. I think Sian did some coverage on Andrea Gibson and some recordings back at the time of her death in July. She had, as I might have said, with ovarian cancer, and that's pretty ruthless. And it was, I strongly recommend go and visit someone who's got Apple TV, subscribe for a month, whatever way you can. It's just a really beautiful documentary and got all the feels. So from that, the theme was done by Sarah Bareilles and Brandy Carlisle. I think it uses the words were Andrea Gibson's words.
Give me the light years, but I want the dark ones too. Grief is the singer in my band. She's a passenger van and a shortcut straight to the truth. Learn from the nightshades, they grow in the darkest places. Had we not been stung so many times, would we ever have arrived at this heaven on earth that I don't want to waste? Pick a lucky penny up and I'll marry you for your money, love. So keep the Novocaine out of my wisdom teeth. Wanna feel it all, salt then sour then sweet. Wanna kiss you and write love's name on my crumbling walls. Lay them at your feet with the rest of me. Salt then sour then sweet. Come to the porch, love. Look up at the perfect sky, holding the sun and the moon and the thunder in June, while it teaches the birds and the rain how to fly. I don't need perfect, no, I just want to touch the truth. I want to cherish the trying and the living and the dying, and make big mistakes the way kind people do. Pick a lucky penny up and I'll marry you for your money, love. So keep the Novocaine out of my wisdom teeth. Wanna feel it all, salt and sour and sweet. Wanna kiss you and write love's name on my crumbling walls. Lay them at your feet with the rest of me.
And that was the theme music from what's it? Come See Me in the Good Light, I think it's Come See Me in the Good Light. Andrew Gibson, I really, really recommend it. And it's I've enjoyed seeing So many comedians. Just playing with the computer here. So many comedians recently in roles, and they, quite often they seem to be in, you know, kind of manager type roles. So we've had. I'm doing things out of order. This, so there's been Tig Notaro in the morning show, and Hannah Gadsby in Sex Education, and Abby McEnany in Tracker, who all seem to be doing a role of a competent person to run things. So if you want a competent person to run things, obviously go get yourself a queer comedian. Much less the competent person running things, but Mae Martin in Wayward, which I think they were showrunner for, had a big hand in the making of it for Netflix, which is a really interesting program because it's sort of, I have to say that it's kind of messed with my head a bit because it... in many ways, didn't follow some tropes, and I don't know that it was, you know, I don't know that that was necessarily successful at the end, where it very much didn't follow what would have been a trope around cults, although it's not actually listed as one of the tropes around cults, but in Wayward, Mae Martin is a trans man with a wife, and there's a couple of young people who've been sent off to a school for wayward children. Interesting interviews with Mae Martin. So I did one with Drew Barrymore, a lot of the discussion was that they'd both attended schools for wild kids, but that discussion didn't really go into this, the school and the program being quite different and quite kind of cultish, and the ending, I have to say, sort of took me by surprise a bit. Because, you know, there's ways that those things usually end, and that wasn't how it ended. It's worth a watch. I just found that the ending didn't really quite work for me. But really unusual to see trans man representation in television. That's starting to become a bit more common. I was reading something the other day, and somebody said everything's a trope, and I thought, oh, really? You know, if you're criticising something for being a trope, they're sort of like, well, everything's a trope. And so I went and had a look at what the tropes were around queer things. Of course, there's the classic bury your gays, which is possibly becoming a little less frequent, where, you know, your most disposable characters are the gays. And the tropes for lesbians, they're pretty classic. In fact, I'd almost say that they're quite old school. There's a few missing ones, like potlucks and writing poetry and the moving truck. But there is, so it's got the lipstick lesbian trope, the butch lesbian trope, the lesbian jock trope. I think it's got an androgynous trope in there. So, you know, that's it. I don't know that I hear that as much as you might have 20 years ago. There's the psycho lesbian and lesbian vampire. The psycho lesbian, quite often the butch lesbian, because, you know, obviously those two go together. There's Dude, She's a Lesbian, which, you know, you'd have to say is possibly a trope, because that's a pretty common sort of thing. You're barking up the wrong tree there, dude. And the two that were kind of new to me was the token lesbian, where you need one in a predominantly gay cast, who are just there to be the token female and lesbian, and discount lesbians who don't really count as lesbians if they're aliens. So you can have this lesbian kiss, but it's not really a lesbian kiss because they're alien, so it doesn't all work the same. It's kind of interesting seeing those mostly being quite, I'd say they're mostly quite old fashioned kind of tropes. What else have I got? I've got another song. I didn't say what that one was. That one was Salt, Then Sour, Then Sweet. It was the song from the movie length story of Andrea Gibson and their partner. It's fascinating watching the two of them writing, actually, writing a piece, and Andrea Gibson very much a spoken word poet, and that really quite robust criticism from the partner of that, so both of them being poets and being able to really criticise the work in ways that there's a level of trust in doing that, I think. I was quite taken by that that sort of working together on the poem to hone it. Next song I've got lined up is Anna De Silva. Now she was it the Raincoats? A 80s punk band performer who's continued performing. I haven't heard stuff before, and this one I was really quite taken with it.
Girl keeps crying.
That was The Lighthouse, Ana de Silva. I might go and have a search out of some of the rest of her stuff. So this afternoon, the QED, what is it? I can't even remember what their name comes from. Meeting, rallying down in Te Ara Park. I think we're going to have at least a year more of these kind of fights, and it's obviously not just going to be, you know, it'll start in one area, and trans people are the easy target at the moment, but that will extend to other areas. So, in fact, the Wellington Pride case is one of those where, you know, for them that's very much about a, or for Lava that's very much about trans people and the legitimacy of trans people, even though they claim not to hate them, you know, they just, you know, will argue until the cows come home that maybe they shouldn't exist, but that case will affect any group trying to run an event where a hate group wants to join in with that event. So it's a very important case for Pride events generally, but also for events across the board, for other things more generally. You know, should I be able to go along and run an atheism stall at a church event? Just because people can attend it, it's just hopefully the cases have been made, but you know, those, that broad effect on community events more generally will be quite chilling, and it's a very good example of where an attack on one community will affect many other communities and will extend from them. So watch for and support the people fighting against those. It's the last week of a fundraiser for Susie Wiles, so that's on Pledge Me. And that's to help her with the costs of keeping her safe at work, and you know, if there's a feminist issue in politics at the moment, it's the attacks that are legitimised against women in politics, against women with high public profiles, and those kind of attacks, driving people overseas. That we see Tory whānaus off to Australia. So thanks for being with us today. This is Quilted Bananas Radio on Access Radio. This was Sue, and we should be out.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.